NDR Info. Nachtclub.
Bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde sind zwei Mitglieder von der Band Div aus New York City, Zachary Cole Smith und Colin Caulfield. Und sie kommen beide gleich zu Wort. Aber erstmal Musik von ihrem neuen dritten Album, Deceiver. Und hier ist jetzt erstmal das Stück Skin Game. So, das war das Stück Skin Game von dem neuen Album Deceiver, das neue dritte Album von Div. Und bei mir im Studio sind, wie gesagt, Zachary und Colin von der Band. Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty good, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm glad you could make it. Thanks for talking to me. And it's been quite a while, hasn't it, since the last album. Do you think that fans were beginning to give up hope? Or were you beginning to give up hope at any time? Or was it clear to you this is an ongoing project, this is you're in this for life, so to speak?
Well, I think we probably went through all those thought processes. You know, I would hope that fans just expect that, you know, bands take time to make records. But for ourselves, I think, yeah, there's a bunch of moments of, like, realizing that the path we're on is not gonna last. And, you know, basically the only option was to kind of start over and, you know, take time and work on ourselves. And so that was a lot of the time that we spent between records. But, you know, I think we probably thought all those things. And as far as what the fans thought, I don't know.
Okay. So you're pleased. There's been a positive outcome, evidently. You're happy with the result, I presume.
Yeah, very positive.
Yeah, good. Ja, ich fragte gerade, ob sie das Gefühl hatten, dass es die Band für immer geben würde, ob die Band so eine Langlebigkeit hätte, weil es hat ziemlich lange Pause gegeben zwischen dem letzten und dem neuen Album, also 3 Jahre sind es denn jetzt. Aber sie meinten, ja, sie sind manchmal verunsichert gewesen, aber es war ihnen eigentlich schon klar, dass sie eigentlich weitermachen wollen und man muss sich künstlerisch erneuern, es passiert nicht von alleine. Und deshalb ist die einzige Möglichkeit, die man hat, an sich selbst zu arbeiten, um im Prinzip einen Neustart zu erzwingen quasi und sie denken, dass es ihnen ganz gut gelungen ist. Und wie es den Fans gegangen ist in der Zeit, ob die Fans beinahe die Hoffnung aufgegeben hätten oder ob sie immer ihnen treu bleiben werden, also das wissen sie noch nicht, das werden sie dann auch sehen. Of course, you come from New York, but as regards to Zachary, didn't it take you quite a long time to actually start properly getting into making your own music, because you were playing in other bands, weren't you, like Soft Black and Beach Fossils? And if my information is right, you didn't really start writing your own songs till you were a bit older, like mid-20s, which makes you, I presume, you could qualify as being a late developer, I suppose. I mean, is that how you perceive yourself?
Yeah, in more ways than one, for sure.
Okay. And was there a particular reason for that, just because you just needed time to actually find out who you really are and what you wanted to do?
Well, I mean, I don't think music was really ever something I had thought about doing. It was kind of something I fell into, then started playing in bands and realizing, you know, that it was something I cared about, you know, like actually making my own music. And so all that time I spent in those bands touring around and watching the way that they worked kind of felt like, you know, my version of going to college.
Okay. Which you didn't do?
No.
Okay. So it was a genuine replacement, really, for going to college in that sense, yeah. You were filling time, yeah.
I think you learn from, you know, watching mistakes that other people make. You learn from watching what other people do right. And then there's obviously a lot of stuff that I didn't learn that I had to, you know, wait even longer to learn. You know, a lot of mistakes that we made as a band and I made as a person. But, you know, I think that in terms of getting the band off the ground, you know, that was kind of a crash course, was playing in all these other touring bands.
Right. But it did actually help you to find your feet as a musician, to actually learn your craft, I presume. And I mean, would it be possible to, you know, that debut album you made, Ocean, was really very well received at the time in 2012. Do you think it would have been as accomplished if you'd not had that background beforehand, do you think?
Well, I think maybe the music would have been the same, because making music is something I'd always worked on, but I don't think, you know, nobody would have heard it. You know, I think that something I realized from playing in all those other bands is the whole music world is just like a collection of people, you know, and you meet people and you play them your music and you, you know, become friends with them. And it was this kind of little scene. And I was lucky enough to find myself like immersed in it. And, you know, I think that's what allowed the record to have any type of, you know, get signed to a label, have people hear it. But I think, you know, the music was something I worked on all the time, and I don't know, maybe it would have been the same, maybe not.
Okay. Zachary sagte, dass eigentlich aus Versehen in die Musikbranche reingeraten ist. Es war nicht wirklich seine bewusste Entscheidung von Anfang an, dass unbedingt Musiker werden wollte. Das ist fast aus Versehen passiert. Und er konnte schon immer Gitarre spielen und dann hat er einfach irgendwie die Chance gehabt, bei Bands zu spielen, wie Soft Black and Beach Fossils. Und er hat dann schon festgestellt, als er das gemacht hat, dass es ihm sehr wichtig war und dass es irgendwas von Bedeutung war für ihn in seinem Leben. Und es hatte schon so einen ideellen Wert. Das hat er dann schon zur Kenntnis genommen. Und er meinte, es war so ein Ersatz von einer Ausbildung. Irgendwie, er ging gar nicht aufs College. Und es war so ein Ersatz dafür. Und er konnte sein Handwerk lernen bei diesen Bands. Und er lernte aus seinen Fehlern. Und er lernte auch aus den Fehlern von anderen Menschen. Und er meinte, das war einfach so ein guter Weg, um quasi so eine Art Ausbildung abzuschließen für sich und für sein Leben. Und deshalb war es für ihn natürlich, es gab ihm einen gewissen Vorsprung, als er dann später seine eigene Band Div gegründet hat. Und ich fragte ihn, ob deshalb das Debütalbum so gut geworden ist, weil er dann schon diese Vorarbeit geleistet hatte bei anderen Bands. Und er meinte, er denkt, die Musik wäre so oder so dieselbe geworden auf dem Debütalbum Ocean, damals 2012. Aber er denkt, dass es wahrscheinlich nicht so erfolgreich gewesen wäre, weil durch seine Vergangenheit, weil er schon in der Branche war und gewissermaßen bekannt war, dann hat er natürlich Aufmerksamkeit bekommen und hat die Gelegenheit dann bekommen, eine Platte zu veröffentlichen, die dann auch ein bisschen bekannt werden könnte. Er meinte, das hat einfach viele Menschen kennengelernt in der Musikwelt, die quasi seine Freunde waren oder halbe Freunde, und dadurch, durch die Beziehungen, die er gehabt hat, war es tatsächlich möglich, sich das so vorzustellen. Right, so we're going to hear another track from the new album now. And is there a track which you particularly want to hear now on the radio, which is particularly important to you for a particular reason?
Oh. Well, we can choose any of them?
Yes, of course you can, yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know, maybe the first one would be cool.
Oh, yeah, you could play. Is there a length restriction?
No, there's no length restriction on this show, no.
So yeah, Horsehead is cool.
Horsehead.
Yeah, that's track one.
Yeah. And what is the reason you've chosen that? I mean, it seems to be like quite like a chill start to the album. It kind of it takes a while to kind of to find its really full tempo, I think. But it's kind of almost like a subtle start to events. Is that the impression you get?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of a nice little it covers things that the record's going to cover. But it just it feels like maybe a good intro to the way that we kind of like want people to listen to the record or something. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like in some ways starting with, you know, having a single be the first thing people hear is kind of like disingenuous. And we wanted to, I don't know, not, you know, give people an idea of what the record actually sounds like rather than just like make them think it's a bunch of pop songs.
Okay. Ja, wir hören jetzt gleich ein Stück von diesem neuen Album jetzt, Deceiver, das neue dritte Album. Und es war das erste Stück auf dem Album, Horsehead. Und sie fanden es wichtig, dass sie mit so einem Stück anfangen, das ziemlich stimmungsvoll ist und nicht gleich mit einer Single-Auskopplung, weil sie nicht den Eindruck vermitteln wollten, dass das Album aus lauten so Singles besteht, nur aus so kurzen, bündigen Pop-Songs, sondern es sollte ein Stück sein, das repräsentativ ist für die Stimmung des gesamten Albums. Und ich denke, sie denken, dass das trifft ganz gut zu auf dieses Stück. Und das hören wir jetzt, Horsehead von Div, von dem neuen Album Deceiver. Das war Horsehead von Div, von dem Album Deceiver. Bei mir im Studio sind Zachary und Colin von der Band. Was there any time in the past when you actually did think that the kind of the creativity would dry up? Or have you always been these kind of guys who maybe always on edge, where you're always going to find your inspiration from real life because there's just so much going on there in your real life? Or have you ever got to the stage where everything's just so settled and so staid? You're thinking, oh, well, nothing dramatic is going to happen, so maybe there's not going to be so many dramatic songs. Have you ever been at that stage? Or,
well, the creativity did dry up, and I think it was maybe in like the opposite fashion that you're describing, where it was like things were too crazy, and that like there was no time to focus on anything creative. You're just focusing on like surviving and, you know, getting, you know, just living through each day. But, you know, I definitely don't think that you need to have any type of crazy life to make good art. I think it's usually the opposite. I think, you know, people who have more time to focus on details in life and, you know, whatever else are more interesting to me.
Okay. So you actually started getting more creative again when things got less crazy.
Well, yeah, and we also began to, like, write together. Cole and I did a lot of writing together. We worked on all the vocals together and each brought demos, and the whole band fleshed out all the demos together in a room. So that was kind of, like, that was a bit of a wellspring of creativity, too, that was untapped before, because Cole was doing everything on his own before. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, a new way to approach writing a song, because, I mean, writing music alone is like an incredibly challenging task, and it really like sucks the life out of you, you know? Yep. And to a certain extent, there's a finite resource, you know? And if you get the right people to collaborate with, it kind of like gives you new life in a certain sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So that's the first time that's been so extensively the case that it's been kind of band compositions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And has that just been advantageous? Been no disadvantages of that at all for you? I mean, it's just only been a positive experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a challenge. There's like, you know, you kind of have to learn a method of how to communicate. There's a lot of like, you know, you have to kind of take your ego out of it and be open to criticism, but also be willing to criticize something that you disagree with and speak your mind. And we found like a really good way to communicate. And, you know, we're just totally unprecious about our own ideas, which is like maybe difficult to start doing. But then once we did and saw it working, it was like much, much better.
I think it's relatively easy for us now too, because we're like very grateful that the band is still going, you know, because for a while it looked like it wouldn't, and we were all at odds kind of, and then with some time we came back and we're just like really close now and life is good. And because of that, it's much easier to just like let down your guard or drop the ego, like Cole was saying, and just give yourself a little bit more selflessly to the music.
Okay. Ja, Sie sagen, das ist tatsächlich der Fall war, dass Sie eine Art so Schreibblockade hatten. Also irgendwann war es so weit, also zwischen diesen beiden Platten, dass Sie gar nicht mehr richtig kreativ sein konnten. Und es lag daran, dass Sie im Privatleben ja ziemlich unruhig waren. Also ziemlich verrückt, ziemlich durchgedreht und sehr unausgeglichen deshalb. Und es war gar nicht möglich, sich wirklich auf Musik zu konzentrieren. Und Sie konnten nicht wirklich darauf sich fokussieren, weil es ging einfach nur darum, den Alltag zu überleben. Und sie hat einfach nicht die Gelegenheit, nicht die Zeit, sich wirklich auf Musik zu konzentrieren. Und, aber jetzt geht's ihnen besser insgesamt und sie schreiben zusammen, richtig als Band. Also früher war es der Fall, dass nur Zachary Cole Smith eigentlich so die ganzen Songs alleine geschrieben hat. Und dann jetzt zum ersten Mal auf diesem Album gibt es sehr viele Songs, die als Zusammenarbeit entstanden sind. Und das war ein sehr erfreuliches Erlebnis, sagen sie. Und der Songwriter, wenn er alleine schreibt, ist das Problem, dass er wirklich dann unter sehr großem Druck steht und dass er vielleicht einfach, dass die Quelle nicht ausreicht oder dass er einfach irgendwann erschöpft ist und keine Ideen mehr hat. Und wenn man natürlich dann sich gegenseitig inspirieren kann, dann ist es einfach möglich, eine größere Variationsbreite dann zu finden. Und es war eine Herausforderung natürlich, weil man nicht so egozentrisch sein darf. Man muss natürlich schon dann aufpassen, dass man ein bisschen bescheidener ist und dass man versucht, sich zu integrieren. Aber das war ein interessanter Lernprozess und das ist ihnen auch gut gelungen, weil sie auch letztendlich so dankbar sind, dass die Band noch existiert, weil aus persönlichen Gründen, weil sie im Privatleben so verrückt und chaotisch unterwegs waren, bestand tatsächlich die Gefahr, dass es die Band immer nicht mehr geben könnte. Und sie sind deshalb sich sehr nah jetzt. Und sie fühlen so ein starkes Gefühl von Verbundenheit deshalb. So I presume because you've done these band efforts now, collaborations, you said you feel close as a band. Inevitably, it's going to make you bond more because if it is genuinely you have this common goal, you're actually creating this art together, not just playing it together. Do you notice a big difference in that sense? You actually feel spiritually more bonded than ever before, do you think?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, like a band is a family if it's done right. And like, we definitely feel that way. And we all live super close to each other in Highland Park in Los Angeles, and we see each other all the time. And when we made this record, we spent like almost all of our time together, you know, like sometimes up to like 10 hours a day. And from that, yeah, you just like, it either makes or breaks you as a group, you know, and it kind of made us, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like a camaraderie thing, like, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. And did you relocate to Los Angeles? Because the band originally came from New York, didn't it?
Yeah, we all like slowly made the move. I came out there maybe like 2.5 years ago, and like over the past 2 years, the band's been one by one moving out. And then once we started really working on the record in earnest, we had all moved there by then.
Okay, and what's the reason? Why LA? Because of the subtropical climate? Do you need the subtropical climate to survive, or what?
Well, I mean, you know, I moved there for the culture of recovery that's there, support system, and...
For health reasons, you mean?
Yeah, and then stayed there for, you know, the community that we had in New York was... It kind of splintered because people couldn't afford to live there anymore. You know, all the places that we used to play and see music all got priced out and torn down. So when our world kind of splintered, then we were looking for a new community, and we didn't find it again until we moved to California, where there's a really supportive and great music community around us.
Okay. Ja, also Sie sagen, dass Sie tatsächlich jetzt sich sehr verbunden fühlen als Band. Es ist wie eine Familie und die leben alle in der Nähe voneinander in Los Angeles. Und teilweise haben Sie 10 Stunden pro Tag miteinander verbracht, als dieses Album entstanden ist. Und das kann natürlich dazu führen, dass man sich total auf den Geist geht und dass es gar nicht mehr funktioniert. Eine Band kann deshalb auch zerbrechen. Aber in diesem Fall haben Sie einfach festgestellt, dass Sie tatsächlich wirklich nur davon profitiert haben. Und die Band kommt ursprünglich aus New York, aber schon vor ein paar Jahren sind sie dann nach und nach nach Los Angeles gezogen. Und zwar ging es eigentlich darum, im Grunde genommen, weil da gibt es eine gute Community, eine gute Gemeinschaft für Leute, die versuchen, sich zu erholen, gesundheitlich von irgendwelchen Abhängigkeiten jeglicher Art. Und die Kultur dort ist eigentlich sehr positiv. Und sie haben davon sehr profitiert. Und in New York haben sie auch das Problem gehabt, dass die Community dort, die Gemeinschaft, auseinandergebrochen ist, weil es einfach immer teurer wurde, dort zu leben. Und also durch die Gentrifizierung der Gegend, wo sie gewohnt haben, war es im Prinzip gar nicht mehr möglich, wirklich als Band da effektiv zu existieren. Und deshalb war es sinnvoll für sie alle dann noch nach Los Angeles zu ziehen. Und das ist eine positive Entwicklung gewesen. Und das haben sie auch überhaupt nicht bereut. Right, so we're going to hear another track now from the album Taker, which is a single, isn't it? Or is it going to be a single? Or is it already was a single? I'm not quite sure.
It was released a week ago.
A week ago, okay. So it's very new. Mm-hmm. Right, okay. So this is your hit single coming up.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And does it feel like a hit single? It does, I presume. Yeah.
Well, this one, it wasn't really like intended to be like a radio single, so to speak.
Right.
The next one that's coming out feels more... conventional single. Taker, I think, was our way of like giving a glimpse of the heavier side of the record, and it's still a short and you know, digestible song.
Okay. Yeah, it was a way of being more honest about what the record actually sounded like, because mm-hmm. the first single, Skin Game, and the last one are poppy, and I think it was, you know, more honest to just be like, well, if you get listen to the record, this is what you're going to get.
Okay. Ja, das nächste Stück, das wir hören von dem Album Deceiver, ist Taker. Und das ist die zweite Single-Auskopplung. Die erste Single ist Skin Game. Und Taker ist die zweite Single. Ist seit einer Woche auf dem Markt quasi. Und es ist nicht wirklich ein Hitstück in dem Sinne. Sie meinen, es war keine typische Single. Das war nicht die Entscheidung für diese Wahl. Es ist tatsächlich ziemlich heavy, aber trotzdem kurz und bündig. Also dann hat es gewissermaßen einen Single-Charakter. Und sie denken, das ist eigentlich ganz repräsentativ für das Album und für die Stimmung des Albums. Hier ist also Taker von Div von dem neuen Album Deceiver. So, das war Taker von dem Album Deceiver von Div. Und bei mir im Studio sind Zachary Cole-Smith und Colin Colfer von der Band. And I just gathered that you don't normally get called Zachary, you just get called Cole, is that right? Or Cole is your nickname, or...
Yeah, I've gone by that since I was born.
Since you were born, so nobody actually calls you Zachary, only me.
Well, you and a lot of other people who, you know, are reading a piece of paper.
Okay, right. When you look back at your back catalogue now, does it seem like a checkered past, or how do you feel about it? Do you kind of feel like just, you know, you're really proud of this back catalogue and everything's just a document of where you were at the time? Or does your opinion of what you've done in the past change as time goes by?
Like musically?
Yeah, musically. And yeah, just in how you actually feel it in terms of your own legacy. I mean, you know, is it something where you'd like to, if you could turn the clock back, would you kind of kicked off half the tracks, or do you think it was everything was perfect?
No, I mean, I don't think anybody thinks their stuff is perfect. I mean, I think it is what it is, and it's fine. You know, it brought me to where I am right now, so, you know.
Yeah.
You have to have a good relationship with your previous work. Doesn't mean that you have to like it or listen to it, but you have to recognize it as like a step towards what you're making currently. And if you're excited about what you're making, and we're excited about this record, then all the previous music was like a fundamental step towards it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, can't have too many regrets if you're liking where you are in the given moment.
Yeah, okay. Ja, ich fragte, also wie Sie dann Ihre alte Platten dann im Nachhinein betrachten, ob Sie immer noch dazu stehen und ob Sie denken, dass es alles richtig war, was Sie gemacht haben, oder ob Sie dann viele Fehler feststellen, also so Sachen, die Sie bereuen inhaltlich. Und Sie sagen, es ist natürlich nicht vollkommen, aber es ist letztendlich Ihre Vergangenheit und es ist wichtig, dazu zu stehen. Man muss schon ein gutes Verhältnis zu seiner Vergangenheit haben, damit man darauf bauen kann. Es ist so wie Bausteine. Und deshalb natürlich ist es nicht möglich, das zu tun, was man jetzt tut, wenn man nicht diese Vergangenheit gehabt hat. Das ist eigentlich so eine logische Entwicklung. Of course, I remember when the first album came out and there was talk about you being really influenced by German music, like Krautrock and also post-punk and shoegaze and stuff like that. Do you think that as you get older and as time goes by, you think less in terms of what you've been influenced by and just concentrate just more on your own creativity and just pushing the music forward yourself? Is it something, do you kind of shake off these youthful influences, or are they still very kind of omnipresent in your mind?
No, I mean, I don't think you shake off influences. You know, I mean, your influences change and your music taste changes and your listening habits change, but... you know, I think our music sounds different than it used to, but it probably just comes from adding new stuff to the fray rather than, like, removing stuff.
Okay. So actually we end up having more influences rather than less in that sense, you think?
Yeah. For sure.
Definitely.
Okay. And is it something which, do you kind of think in terms of trying to be as original as possible, or is that not so much something which you... kind of concerns you? Is it just a case of just writing good songs which are of a good quality, which with a good spirit to them, and just they're authentic, or do you not think about that so much?
Well, I think, you know, just being original isn't going to help you, right? And just writing good songs isn't going to help you. I think that you know, finding some kind of, like, carving a little niche out for yourself and then trying to make that thing that you do the best it can be is kind of what we've done.
Okay.
And something that we tried to do on this record is like expand our references, like we were saying, but also like really dig into understanding the specifics of like the guitar sound on like a Smashing Pumpkins track, or like, or the feeling in like a slowcore song from like Bedhead, or like, or anything by Slint, or all these different bands, like getting really specific and trying to emulate it, but not in like a copycat way, but eventually like attaining something that is very like Dive and us, while still being like a reflection of stuff that we really like. Because I think a lot of bands that I love and that Cole loves do that really well. You like take things that you're influenced by and you regurgitate them in a new way.
Okay. Now, it's interesting the names you're mentioning, like Smashing Pumpkins and Slint and bands like that. It's pretty old material. I seem to remember reading at some point that you were really into Sonic Youth as well. Is that right? And yep. Elliot Smith, Bad Moon Rising, Sonic. I seem to remember that. So, and that's going back to the early 80s, isn't it? So you go back quite a long way when it looks for inspiration of some sort.
Well, you know, we're a rock band, a guitar-based rock band. And, you know, I think that's an era where it was, like, very much in the mainstream. There's a lot of money being put into it, and there were a lot of people making it. And there are people experimenting with it. There are people who are, like, just, you know, straight up in the mainstream. And so I feel like anytime you're making guitar music, people are going to throw around, you know, 90s.
Well, I was just mentioning the 80s, because the Bad Moon Rising, I think, was 85 or something, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, that predates that, yeah.
Sure. 80s, 90s. You know, but, I mean, just being a rock band, a lot of your influences are going to be from those specific decades and eras, because, you know, that's when rock music was really at its pinnacle.
Do you think at its pinnacle in terms of popularity and also in terms of quality and creativity, do you think? Or?
Well, I meant popularity, but, you know, probably, arguably, both.
But we still, like, Cole and I and the rest of the band, we all listen to new music and we're influenced by new bands, too. We had, like, a reference playlist for this record, all these different songs that we were really enjoying, and there were probably more old bands, but there are a considerable amount of tracks from newer bands that we like. Mm-hmm. It's a bit easier to think about established bands because they've been around a lot longer and you've probably been listening to them for your whole life. And there's something tempting about emulating or drawing inspiration from a newer band, but it's like a slippery slope because you can end up just sounding too much like a contemporary or a peer. It's a bit easier to get inspiration from older bands, I think. It's a bit safer.
Yeah, okay. Ja, Sie sagen, dass Sie schon also ziemlich viele Vorbilder haben. Und das ist nicht der Fall, dass Sie jetzt, nur weil Sie ein bisschen älter sind, dass es nicht mehr der Fall ist, dass Sie diese Einflüsse von früher haben. Also die Einflüsse sind immer noch vorhanden. Und Sie merken schon, dass Sie von Musik aus der Vergangenheit auch geprägt worden sind. Und natürlich versuchen Sie, Ihre eigene Identität aufzubauen, aber die haben schon eine Menge Musik konsumiert in ihrem Leben. Und es hinterlässt natürlich seine Spuren. Und was Sie schon ganz gerne machen, wenn Sie so ein Fanverhältnis haben zu einer Band wie Smashing Pumpkins oder Slint, solche Bands, dass Sie tatsächlich versuchen, das auf irgendeine Weise nachzuahmen, aber doch nicht nachzuahmen. Das heißt, Sie nehmen bestimmte Bestandteile, Komponenten und dann versuchen, Ihre eigene Version davon zu machen. Und auf diese Weise versuchen Sie, Ihre eigene Nische aufzubauen. Und Sie meinen, es ist unvermeidlich, dass weil es eine Gitarrenbande ist in erster Linie, dass Sie werden mit Sicherheit mit anderen Bands aus den 90er Jahren, aus den 80er Jahren verglichen werden, weil dann war Gitarrenmusik besonders weit verbreitet und besonders beliebt. Und auch musikalisch war vielleicht das Genre am so einem Gipfel, so der Popularität und der Kreativität. Aber damit haben Sie kein Problem. Aber die hören schon viel neue Musik auch, neue Bands, aber die haben weniger das Bedürfnis zu versuchen, irgendwas zu kopieren oder nachzuahmen. Es ist natürlich sinnvoller, irgendwie auf die Vergangenheit zurückzugreifen und gucken mal, was für Perlen und was für Schätze es in der Vergangenheit dann auch gibt. Und nun hören wir ein Stück aus der Vergangenheit. 1985, das Album Bad Moon Rising von Sonic Youth. Das war ihr zweites Album. Hier ist das Stück Brave Men Run in My Family. Das war Brave Men Run in My Family. Eine Kim Gordon-Komposition von Sonic Youth von dem Album Bad Moon Rising, 1985. Right, so Is it still the case that you just still have the same appetite to go on exhausting tours? I mean, is that something which do you think is actually helpful for the creative process and for this bonding we're talking about? Or that can it just also have the opposite effect, just kind of wears you out?
It depends, you know, when you ask that. I think, sometimes we're really grateful and excited to be seeing new places and playing music for people. And sometimes we're just like, you know, it just kind of feels like you're living the same day over and over and over. Touring's a lot of work, but that's ultimately the goal of, you know, making a record, is that you get to go out and play it for people.
Sure.
We're also like very aware of the realities of touring, because we've all been in bands for a long time. We've gone on many tours. I think some newer artists that are coming up now that get popular really quickly, I don't think they have a true understanding of like how much you need to tour to support your music, and so it kind of blindsides them.
Right.
But for us, it's just like part of it, and it's absolutely challenging at times, but we like being around each other, which makes it easier, and we like playing with each other, which makes it a lot easier. So you just kind of have to take the good with the bad.
But you don't really feel the necessity to kind of live this rock and roll glamorous myth of excess anymore, and you can be more disciplined about it, can you, these days?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that is not like, you know, that doesn't go anywhere except somewhere bad. Or like, you know,
eventually anyway, yeah.
Bands like that crash and burn, or very rarely become like a legacy band or something. But most bands who are just kind of like wild, make a few records and then just like fizzle out, because it's like a destructive way to live your life in general. And so of course, like creatively speaking, it's also destructive. And so you have to like commit yourself to a bit healthier of a lifestyle if you want to like be in a band for a long time, or at least that's my opinion. And we definitely want to do this for more than just like this record, you know?
Right. Ja, Sie haben gemischte Gefühle, was das Thema Tourneen betrifft. Auf der einen Seite ist es schon ein sehr schönes Erlebnis, wenn Sie miteinander auf Tour gehen und Sie schaffen es, ein neues Album zu machen und dann dieses Album in der Öffentlichkeit vorzustellen. Und das macht natürlich auch Sinn. Und die Verbundenheit ist auch groß da. Sie entwickeln sich dann zusammen. Aber natürlich gibt es auch so die Kehrseite der Medaille, dass es auch sehr anstrengend sein kann und dass die Gesundheit darunter leiden kann. Aber Ander meinte, es gibt viele junge Bands, die sehr schnell bekannt werden und sie denken, es wird leichter sein, als es eigentlich ist. Sie können sich das gar nicht vorstellen, wie es ist, auf Dauer überhaupt auf Tour zu gehen und sehr ausgedehnte Tourneen zu machen, um von ihrer Musik zu leben. Also wie anstrengend es wirklich sein kann. Und sie haben gar kein Bedürfnis mehr, dass die Gesundheit darunter leidet. Und sie meinte, es würde die Band gar nicht mehr geben, oder zumindest nicht langfristig, wenn sie jetzt nicht mehr verstärkt auf ihre Gesundheit aufpassen würden. Und das ist auch ihr Ziel. Weil es auch ihr Wunsch dann, dass es die Band für lange Zeit geben kann. Right, well, we're going to hear one more track to finish off. One I did want to talk about just briefly was the producer, is Sonny DePere. And he's actually quite well known, isn't he? He's produced pretty well-known bands like My Bloody Valentine, I think, or Nine Inch Nails, people like that. Was that a conscious decision to choose him because he was well-known? Were you looking for a particular sound when you chose him?
I think, actually, I mean, Sonny has a very impressive roster, but there are certainly other, like, indie producers who are much more trendy that we could have gone with, like bigger names. I think we wanted to go with Sonny because Cole and I had lunch with him, talked about music, and we hit it off really well, and we were like, that was the only meeting we had.
Okay. Yeah, he's young, he's up and coming, more than kind of a big name. He's worked with, you know, his story is actually really interesting, and he kind of just found his way into this community and you know, worked with a lot of well-known producers and bigger bands. But you know, I think he's kind of, it was the right fit for us. He's like our general age. He's like, you know, fit in with us really well. So it didn't feel like we're moving to this big producer who told us what to do. He just like fit right in with us and he was kind of like, you know, the fifth voice in the room.
Right. I mean, the whole album seems to have quite like a feel-good vibe about it, just like very kind of positive spirit about it, I think. And do you think he's been instrumental in that, or was that more down to you than just being so positive at the moment anyway?
I think we're finding that that has mostly to do with the listener, because previously in talking about this record, some people say that it's just like super dark, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that for us, it does have like an enduring like positivity about it because we kept it really light. It's like serious music, but we were having a lot of fun while making it. And that was partially to do with Sonny, like, keeping us on track and, like, keeping the recording process, like exciting and new feeling, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Ja, also Sie haben jetzt einen Produzenten, Sonny Diperi, genommen, der gewissermaßen bekannt ist. Er hat schon relativ bekannte Bands schon produziert, aber die haben das gerade relativiert. So bekannt ist er auch wieder nicht. Sie hätten schon einen anderen Produzenten nehmen können, der mehr im Trend liegt, aber Sie wollten jemanden haben, der ein bisschen jung ist, noch ein bisschen frisch. Und Sie denken, dass es sehr gut gepasst hat, aber wirklich wie die fünfte Person im Raum. Und Sie bereuen es überhaupt nicht, dass Sie mit ihm zusammengearbeitet haben. Und ich meinte auch, dass das auch für mich so grundsätzlich so eine positive Stimmung vermittelt und ausstrahlt. Und Sie meinen, da gehen die Meinungen auseinander. Aber die gehen mir eher recht in der Tendenz. Es ist letztendlich, es ist zwar schon Musik mit Substanz und mit Tiefgang, aber letztendlich ist die Stimmung relativ heiter und relativ leicht. Right, so what would you like to hear to finish off then?
You mean like one of our songs?
Yeah, one of your songs from the new album then, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess Blankenship will be a single by then, right?
Yeah, let's just do Blankenship.
Oh, okay. Okay, Blankenship, okay. Yeah, well, thanks very much for talking to me anyway. Appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
And hope to see you soon in Hamburg then. Hope you're going to play live soon here.
Yeah, yeah, in the winter next year.
So, zum Schluss haben wir jetzt Blankenship von dem neuen Album Deceiver von Div. Meine Studiogäste waren Zachary Cole-Smith und Colin Corfe von der Band. Und das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.